whether you're using your piggy bank checking account, good chance you're deferring or getting the benefits of other K-1 tax benefits. And on the flip side, by default, in a self-directed account, you're naturally deferring. Or if you're in a Roth, I like to say you're paying on the seed, not the big tree at the end in terms of taxes.
Welcome to Passive Income Unlocked, where we unlock the doors to intelligent, hands-off real estate investing. We talk to experts in the space about what they do, how they do it, and most importantly, why they do it. My passion is careful, intelligent investing and closing the investing gap one investor at a time. While money doesn't buy happiness, passive income does have the potential to buy back your time. What would you choose to do with your time if you had enough passive income to live your best life? How would you like to spend your days? What kind of impact would you like to make? I'm here to tell you, dream big. There's no ceiling. It's all possible if you take consistent action towards your goals. It's been said that success is 80% mindset and 20% strategy. So we discuss both. Ready to gain knowledge and take action? Let's dive in. Hey, everyone, and welcome back to the show. Today, I'm very excited to introduce our guest for the day, Dan Krzyzanowski, or Dan K. Dan, thank you so much for being here.
It's just such a pleasure. And I know my name is a mouthful, so I'm literally going to keep it above you for the next 20 minutes so everybody can spell it.
So, awesome. Yeah, totally. Well, so everyone, Dan is an active real estate advisor, investor, and partner. Dan has raised millions of dollars across multiple channels, including accredited investors, family offices, investment advisors, while empowering his partners to raise seven figures on multiple occasions. He specializes in niche segments such as industrial and self-storage, and it's complemented with a deep knowledge of tax advantage investing. Well, I'm really excited to get into all of your knowledge and experience, Dan. Why don't you start us off by bringing us back in time, and how did you and why did you get into real estate?
Yeah, and thanks. So nice to be with you all today. You know, much of my story, it goes back to Scranton, Pennsylvania. So a very good friend I had growing up was getting married, and I was co-best man in his wedding. And the gentleman that I was co-best man, I said, hey, what do you do? He says, flip houses. I'm like, yeah. And then he said, I'm like, what does that mean? He said, 15%. My ears perked up. And then he said, did you know you can use your retirement dollars to invest in my deals? And this was the big light bulb moment. This is about a decade ago. But for me, I said, wow, you know, I feel really stuck with these Fidelity funds or whatever I was in. And I've always been a very, supporter of small business, sort of boots on the ground, very tangible sort of guy, particularly from where I spend my time and invest my money. And this was just a total eye-opener to me. So when I realized, you know, it wasn't just a publicly traded REIT that you can go into, and frankly, you know, the millions upon millions of people in the real estate community, whether it's on the front end, the investment side, or the back end, that I was able to help, this was very enlightening. So like anything, I did a small check, you know, call it $10,000, and I got, you know, money come in, and then I did it again and added, you know, maybe another zero at the end of it. And then I kept on getting paid. And, you know, that was my real initial bout, just, you know, frankly, just helping a buddy out. It's been wildly successful since.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. And so what was it that you were doing? Were you had a W-2 at that time?
Yeah, I was W-2'd, like probably most folks on the call, especially pre-2008. You know, I went to Wharton, worked for GE, got my master's at Merrill Lynch, Thunderbird, GE, very standard. And, you know, the business I was in at GE, although, you know, the financial crisis affected everybody, we were doing very well. I just had to make a life decision if I wanted to do the typical commute or reverse commute into New York or Connecticut. It really didn't fit us head to toe. So before the rest of the world came to Austin, Texas, 2011, you know, we moved here from one of these endless winters to, 100 degree plus summers in Austin, but it fit me well. I will preface, this is when Austin was still weird and crazy and remarkable. But it also, you know, on the flip side, it really, you didn't have that protective cover of having like a GE Capital brand, you know, so really, and I think every real estate person feels this, is your protective cape is off, your brand is off, and you have to build this back up yourself. So I would say it was not overnight, like many folks that I've listened to here that you've interviewed. I was W-2'd for a majority of the time, I'd say over the next, you know, 8 years or so. That said, on the side, I became a passive investor, mm-hmm. once again, through my retirement dollars. Otherwise, some of my ex-clients in the world of self-storage, mm-hmm. I supported them on deal one and just really found the benefits, especially pre-COVID, but even post-COVID, of the in-person meetups. I feel everybody has a great superpower, particularly in real estate, and it's wise to sit around the table and listen to the other nine people.
Yeah, for sure. Awesome. So when your friend introduced you to your first deal, what exactly was it that was compelling to you? Was it that you wanted some passive income? Was it that you wanted to diversify?
Yeah, I think it's so definitely both. That definitely helped. But for me, it was just the tangibility that I can take back my retirement dollars or, you know, I mean, listen, I grew up in Scranton, Pennsylvania. It's a blue collar sort of town. You go to work, you pay your taxes. The concept of passive income wasn't in the spirit of rich dad, poor dad. There wasn't many, say, rich dads around. So part of it mm-hmm. was, wow, like, you know, I can, at the time, I can pay for my rent with passive income. This is pretty cool. I mean, maybe I do that forever, you know, which is really unique. So that was part of it. And the other side was just, once again, the tangibility. I mean, I've worked on Wall Street. You're so mm-hmm. far away to even talk to a junior person at a REIT versus being able to have a sit-down coffee with the CEO, with the general partner of a deal, for me was just wildly exciting after a 10-year corporate career.
Mm-hmm, for sure. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. It's so great to be able to actually know the people who are running the deals that you're investing in our space. Awesome. Okay, so, you know, it sounds like you did a lot from, you know, those first days to you grew step by step. Can you just speak a little bit about that journey? And then we'll dive into, you know, some of the other things we're going to get into on this call.
Yeah, absolutely. So outside of my first passive investment, my buddy that flips houses, I was doing crowdfunding kind of before it was a thing, doing investments in female entrepreneurs, which has been awesome, you know, from both the return and other aspects. Mm-hmm. I was with the first aggregator in the self-storage space, Sparefoot, and had the benefit of standing up the account management team and learning and getting to meet probably most of the top 100, say COO, CMOs, et cetera. As some of these folks went on their own, I found myself being an investor, being a natural evangelist. And it was very, it was comfortable. It was easy to do it. And, mm-hmm. you know, with that as a background, one gentleman started to do deal one, deal two. And I tell my friends and they say, oh, this is pretty good. And proof's in the pudding, the dividends come in, the valuations go up. It's pretty exciting. And then I dip my toe in other asset classes, such as multifamily, something relating a little bit more towards a warehouse, mm-hmm. a fix and flip here in Austin before, you know, Austin went crazy kind of in the mid 2010s. And then fast forward a little bit, I was on a plane ride to Las Vegas with a gentleman who just, you know, Goldman Sachs bought their company 18 months in. And I say, hey, Henry, you should check out this storage deal. And, you know, I'm trying to be all big muscular. Did you know you can use your retirement dollars? And yeah, he's one of the smartest guys I know. So of course he did. And that kind of led to the advent of Rocket Dollar, where I was just so enamored that learning of this 10 trillion with the T opportunity of just money, I call it sitting on the sidelines, probably in some Vanguard fund, et cetera, that people could bring to invest in private real estate, which has been the bread and butter investment for multiple years in the self-directed world.
So just a real quick, so Rocket Dollar, and then can you just explain for the listeners who aren't familiar what Rocket Dollar is and what your role was, and then this $10 trillion, what that is?
Sure. So Rocket Dollar is a, and I say this in a very specific order, a checkbook control self-directed account provider. So first I'll say these accounts are legal. They've been around 50 years. It's just been more of a hassle, almost like you felt you needed a scanner or a fax machine to have access to your old retirement money. So using my personal story, the money I had from my GE and Merrill days goes from a 401k to an IRA. But for me, for example, to invest in, you know, Suja, one of your deals, it has to be in a self-directed, so capital L, capital D account, which can be an SDIRA, which is kind of the Gatorade term, or a solo 401k. Now, that said, there was kind of, think of Wizard of Oz, you know, it wasn't a, I'd like to say, it was never country club cool because the administrative hassle, the fees, the asset under management charge, when you really strip everything away, I don't want to say it's not that complicated, but it isn't when you do take the time to learn. So that said, for some of our business folks and our consultants out there, the concept of a TAM, a total available market, a SAM, a serviceable market, in IRAs alone, which is basically your previous company's 401ks, that's 10 trillion with a T. That's a wild number. And over the first 50 years of these accounts, only about 100 billion, so about 1% moved in. Now, behind this, think of the, you know, our friends that work at Dell, Apple, et cetera. There's probably X trillion behind there. And then for our self-employed friends, including the 1.3 realtors out there, you can open a solo 401k where you can actually contribute in the 50s. And if you're a married couple, over 100,000 per year. So when you say, what's the real opportunity? It can be as big as 30 trillion when you really look at it. That can ultimately move into private assets such as real estate.
Yeah, totally. That's a hugely powerful number and a lot of opportunities for people to diversify outside of the stock market. I mean, even if you still have some of your investment portfolio in the stock market, it's we want to buy low and sell high, right? And we're obviously, I mean, we don't know when anything, you know, a crash is going to happen or anything, but it's not a bad time to diversify with the markets where they are.
And a great light bulb moment for me was I'm sitting at these family office shows, which is, of course, high net worth individuals, families that have kept wealth over time. And even in front of Open Doors, they, you know, some said I have less than 10% of my stuff in stocks and bonds. Mm-hmm. It's in real estate, it's in private assets, because frankly, just the valuation going up. Secondly, tremendous tax benefits. Once it's on board, mm-hmm. it's just the code is what the code is. So whether you're using your piggy bank checking account, good chance you're deferring or getting the benefits of other K-1 tax benefits. And on the flip side, by default, in a self-directed account, you're naturally deferring. Or if you're in a Roth, I like to say you're paying on the seed, not the big tree at the end in terms of taxes. So I think when what's kind of funny in a way is, you know, especially my generation, Gen X and above, what folks did with their personal checking, they bought a second house, they bought a little lake house, they bought a, you know, a cabin in the woods, they put 50K with their buddy's restaurant. But with retirement, I even know some VCs that help startups, like, well, no, I can't touch my retirement. Like, you're 52 years old, like, it's kind of the same bucket. Anyways, but now, as I said, I think that curtain's been lifted, the stigma or just the potential of, ooh, this is going to take a lot of time and effort and cost, that's been completely stripped away, which I think is hugely beneficial, you know, for our folks listening today.
Yeah, for sure. Totally. It's starting to change and more people are starting to understand that they can take control of their retirement dollars. And yeah, I would love for you to go into, I know of Rocket Dollar because they're a relatively streamlined option. And will you just please describe, you know, how they place themselves in the marketplace for self-directed IRAs and solo 401ks?
Absolutely. So you brought up a great point. The solo 401k, some of the traditional custodians do not offer that. Some that do, it's not the preferred product because you have checkbook control. I mean, you also have privacy where by default, there's not a custodian or there should not be involved in a solo 401k. Point being here, if I'm a custodian, I'm charging asset under management, I need to know how much you have. In solo 401k, you don't have to share that.
Okay. And just real quick before, because I realized we didn't define it this show. So solo 401ks are available for sole proprietors and self-employed folks. So they can basically put all their pre-tax earnings into the solo 401k and tax shelter that until retirement age, right?
Yeah. Congratulations. You're hired. That was awesome. Great. And I would just, you know, for the cherry on top is it seems a lot of folks have a side gig, a side consultancy.
So you can have a W-2 and still do a solo 401k.
Yes. And to give a very real example, you know, I'll pick on myself, say I was W-2'd for all these years, just use round numbers, say there's 100,000 on the side for my GE 401k. I do some consulting on the side. I can, that means this is, I qualifies me to open the solo 401k. I can choose not to contribute. So let's say I make $5,000 of consulting income. I can choose to contribute zero, but then I can roll over up to that, in our example here, that 100,000, as much or as little as I want to into a solo 401k. So as long as the spirit is that, yeah, I'm going to have some, you know, self-employed income or a small business on the side. So
roll over from where to where?
My previous IRA. Once again, the okay. Third stop on this train, it's your current, your first company, 401k, an IRA, usually called the rollover IRA. And then the next step on the train is the solo 401k. Once again, just want to be clear, there's no tax penalties, there's no early withdrawal. It's just another stop on the train until you, you know, ideally when you're older than 59 and a half, want to pull that money out.
Okay, great. So why would people move from like a self-directed IRA to a solo 401k? If, because you were talking about a train.
This show is sponsored by Lux Capital Investment Group. Lux Capital provides pre-vetted, highly favorable investment opportunities on a risk-adjusted basis. Our opportunities are diversified across asset classes, geographies, and operators. We are nothing short of rigorous in our approach to evaluating investments. We focus on downside protection, conservative underwriting, recession-resistant asset classes, and forging strong relationships with operating partners and investors. If you want to be an intelligent, hands-off investor and gain access to the types of deals that I like to invest in personally, make sure to go to lux-cap.com, L-U-X-E-cap.com lux-cap.com and sign up for our newsletter.
Yeah. So, I mean, usually once folks go from, you know, your personal, your job to a rollover IRA, they usually choose SDI IRA or solo 401k.
Okay.
It's relatively rare. That said, benefits of the solo 401k, you can contribute 10 times as much versus an IRA. So in the 60,000 range, you can have the equivalent of a pre-tax account and post-tax account. So two unique checking accounts, whereas in SDI IRA land, you would need a very unique traditional and Roth. So twice as many accounts. Those are just laws. And there's other benefits where you can borrow up to $50,000 from your solo 401k. So, you know, point being here is, hey, you're thinking of a company. You don't really want to go to friends and family. You don't want to do a formal, say, a seed round investment. You say, I can borrow $40,000. So as long as you pay yourself back over 5 years, that's fine. If things go well, that's great. If not, you know, maybe you get a W-2 again and then you pay yourself back. So there's a few other benefits too, but the solo 401k is a very, very powerful tool.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Cool. So I interrupted you when you were talking about Rocket Dollar.
I think some folks, you know, the traditional custodial model where you have to, let's say I'm investing with you and we'll just call it XYZ custodian. We'll have to get the PPM to this custodian. We'll have to fill out their paper. We'll probably be on the phone. This is part of the process. For some folks, this is very comforting. For me, it'd be a shame that you and I would waste an hour of our time doing this when it was me writing a check. Particularly, let's say every quarter, I'm writing you a check for $25,000, which in some folks, yeah, that's a natural progression of it. So, you know, from a personality, and you're seeing most folks, you know, they do everything online. They don't even know where, you know, take the younger generation, where physical bank is. So kind of in that spirit, anything that's an extra step for sake of folks don't want to do. And even some sponsors, folks raising money, syndicators, have had some bad experience with certain custodians. They're not taking IRA money, which is a shame. So, you know, Rocket Dollar has eliminated all the friction legally possible. So somebody can, in 5 minutes, can sign up for an account. Just personal information, driver's license, credit card, e-sign a few things. Once again, no hard paper. And then have access to their money 24/7 to invest in what they want and when they want.
Awesome. Yeah. So important. It's such a great service to be able to have Rocket Dollar as an option that's relatively low cost and very streamlined. So thanks for sharing that. And then you do have a link, right? Do you want to share your link?
Yeah. So I guess just a code is, I trust me, won't flash on the screen, but I like to joke, if you spell it, you can get it. So D Krasinowski, that's 12 letters. That'll get you some money off a Rocket Dollar. So thanks, Jill. Yeah, of course. And, you know, particularly our fellow sponsors, folks raising money out there, which much like you, I do, but more in the industrial side here in Texas, I'm happy to go one-on-one. So LinkedIn's a great way to catch me there.
Yeah, for sure. Awesome. Okay, great. So everyone should really remember this. I mean, we talk about it a lot, but investing in these self-directed IRAs and solo 401ks are a really great way for A, for newer investors to get exposure to this type of asset class, and B, to diversify your retirement funds, which is just, you know, could be a smart move for you depending on where you are with your whole portfolio. Okay, so I want to move to your 500 sponsor interviews and what you learned. So you've, as I understand it, talked to 500 sponsors, and is it the Texas area?
A fair number were in Texas, but across the United States.
Okay. So
across the country. Think, you know, hey, what were you doing pre-COVID? You're probably traveling like me. I mean, whether it's in a no particular order, you know, Bigger Pockets, Jake and Gino, Michael Blanc. This is just a few that come top of mind of a very busy 2019. And I had the benefit, once again, to whether it's Benny Smiles, you know, Matt and Liz Faircloth, just to sit down and speak with these folks. I learned so much. I mean, these are true, you know, boots on the ground. And what I figured from talking to 500 sponsors, I think this is why I think partners are important. And, you know, for folks that are thinking, I'm going to write my first check, it helps to invest with somebody that it's two or three partners, I would say. Once again, my opinion here. And what I learned is that folks are either really good in the sticks and brick side. So maybe ex-construction, for example, or current construction. On the financing side, more of a banker. And then I'd say the top of the pyramid is in the marketing side, the fundraising, the education. So, you know, perfect world, three folks and they can make it work and it's a happy marriage and there's enough to go around and these become your GPs. You know, for me, I found that to be a success story. That said, you know, on the books, it could be one GP, but having those partner relationships is my main point that I wanted to come across here. That's one thing that I learned. Second thing I learned is a lot of times you're not going in your market. Particularly, you know, I grew up in the Northeast. A lot of folks, my friends from Philly, they're looking at deals in Louisville, in the Carolinas, you know, Rust Belt like Ohio. Once again, great ROI on some of that. And then the benefit from being here in Texas is, you know, one, folks are moving here for multiple reasons. And the other thing is when you kind of take a step outside of multifamily, which I know kind of our broad community, a lot of folks talk multifamily, something like industrial, you go from whether it's multifamily, retail, self-storage, from the 1-3-5 mile circles up to this huge 8-hour circle, because you have to think, where can I get my goods or services or people to me in an 8-hour window? So for me, this was much like self-storage was a revelation to me. One out of 10 Americans will pretty much always have a demand for it. Industrial, I feel, is the same way, particularly just for geography alone coming through Texas. So that's another thing that I learned. You know, the big macro, meaning like some people feel storage is overbuilt, maybe, but in a submarket, definitely not the case in certain markets. And then industrial, I think, you know, Amazon has really proved it that this whole having a warehouse in last mile, the people, you know, hey, I want to be on demand real quick. That's not going away anytime soon. And all of that is built in broadly into what I would call industrial. So these are just some of the learnings that, and I've learned great things about parking lots and other sort of segments. So it's been humbling to talk to folks across the board, but rambling a bit here. But, you know, the ultimate thing I think is this submarket for the particular segment, if it's going to make sense.
For sure. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. We invest in a lot of self-storage and we're always looking at those tertiary markets that are growing in population and job. So those are places that the publicly traded REITs are less likely to build. And so we have a pretty well-protected market. As long as there's excess demand, we can do really well. But yeah, so looking at that particular submarket, so important. So just curious, why did you set out to talk to 500 sponsors?
Yeah, it wasn't an exact number, but what I, naturally, I mean, you know, obviously, by default, a self-directed account is for individuals. So an individual are the only paying customers. But we felt there was a real need. You know, once again, going back to my happy triangle, some folks are not naturally marketers and others that might be might not have the time to do it. So they said, wow, if you can educate our audience. So, you know, within a year, I probably did 100 podcast webinars alone. If we Rocket Dollar built an award-winning knowledge base, FAQ, so folks can self-educate. And ultimately, you know, where the money hits the road here is that folks that on a regular basis share a simple sentence to say, did you know you can use your retirement dollars to invest with me? Folks that do this on an ongoing basis tend to get 10 to 20% of their dollars from SDIRAs, from solo 401k. So, you know, I used to half joke, you can take Friday off because your fundraise is over. And then, you know, what's the beautiful story? One, at worst case, you're educating somebody, which is great.
Yeah.
You're probably getting some second tranches coming in. And then the best story I like to share is, you know, you have somebody that worked corporate for 30 years. They're a consultant now. So A, they learned about the solo 401k. They're wildly excited. But B, they really like your deal. So talking to my fellow sponsors out here, but they have 3 kids in college. They just, you know, they're not liquid. But they say, wow, I like this deal. And I have $1 million IRA from working at Pick Big Company for the last 30 years. Now that I know I can invest, yeah, here's obviously $100,000. I want to get your double digit returns versus this bond fund that I'm in. So that's the real, you know, I think the great sort of story that can play out here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Awesome. So I want to just circle back to industrial in Texas. And if someone was thinking about investing in industrial, what would some recommendations be that you'd have for them?
Yeah, I mean, like with any asset class, I think there's tremendous benefit to be a passive investor first, even if you're coming into a new market or a new asset class. You know, that said, I say, unlike what's unique, industrial is usually a commercial thing. So, you know, at BV Capital, we like to think that here's industrial product, but we're bringing to the retail community. It's still 506C. It's still accredited investors only. Mm-hmm. But frankly, you know, industrial as it sounds, industrial must be big money. Yeah, a lot of times it was. Now it's down at more at this level where, you know, somebody can get in for a reasonable check size. And then also, if they're proving it to themselves, their spouse, their community, the nice thing about industrial, a lot of these properties are usually on a triple net lease, for example. Tends to be companies that cash flow very well. Mm-hmm. So let's say, you know, today somebody listens, they say, wow, Dan, this is great. Let me sign up. You'll actually start accruing on day one, which multifamily deals don't even know. And then you'll probably see the first check a month or two later, and then the next month and the next month. So for some folks, particularly a real good friend, she's a fantastic real estate professional, has been burned by a separate sponsor to get in the game. She wants to start small, but she's going to see that check within a month and then another month. And then come tax time, there's a tremendous amount of K-1 benefits that come through to you in an industrial deal. And then, of course, the cherry on top is upon sale, you know, you get a nice bump. So you might not see like RV storage, crazy returns, what you might see in a workforce housing, but this is your bond cash replacement. You're slow and steady with very, very solid tenants in a market where the demand just for what industrial, whether you're making it, holding it, shipping it, it's all here in Texas.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Interesting. So would you say Texas is like specifically well-positioned as far as industrial investments?
It really is. And I mean, I could throw out the whole silly, number one so many years, but my five-year-old's looking at maps here is that, okay, well, mommy's from Mexico. All these goods and stuff come through Mexico, train and car, politics way aside, that's not going anywhere. That's going to continue. Who's ever kind of running the show. Mm-hmm. You have your port in Houston. El Paso, for example, we have a property, it's Department of Defense certified. It's like a mini Fort Knox, that thing. It's not like a tech company mm-hmm. picking up and moving here. All of this is here. I-35, the major sort of highways coming through here. And Dallas, probably my friends in Dallas patting themselves on the shoulder. Dallas has done a great job of first building outward and then upward. And they still have a lot, trust me, there's a lot of room up there to go outward and upward. Austin tended to go very high and, there's some pockets where you can go high again, but not as much. But as I said, there's a whole lot of room in, the DFW Metroplex, I think, is going to continue to get larger and larger, which, going back to a simple example of, hey, I ordered something from Amazon, it has to go somewhere and be at me in a few hours. There's going to be the equivalent of those sort of warehouses, throughout Texas.
For sure. Yeah. No, I think that's awesome. Makes a great case for industrial. And what are you looking for in an industrial deal when you're kind of sorting through opportunities?
Yes. So, I mean, it's always nice when you have an existing relationship with a tenant. So let's just talk about different industrial submarkets or subclasses, if you want to call it that. One is your typical industrial park, probably a few buildings. I like to joke at college, you have to show your ID to get into the bar. Having that building is good. Having the building with the beer, meaning where they make the widget, make the part, that's really solid. It's a campus. That's a typical, I'd say, asset. A second one would be your distribution centers. Using Amazon generically as an example, stuff comes in, comes out. That's a DC. A showroom. So plumbers, folks in construction, folks getting their house done, probably going to hire somebody. These are true showrooms. 70% of the people that walk through like a Floor and Decor and Northern Tool, these companies have doubled in value in the past year alone, probably would have even without COVID. So these are solid companies. And then I referenced, I think, Loomis before, which is just literally, it's a Fort Knox, it's a vault, it's a big metal building. And this, all these, I share all this because this all falls under the industrial sphere. And then even you can take it another layer with when you start really thinking of last mile and how supplies and things are coming in and out. And a final point I would say, particularly, Texas obviously has great ties to Mexico and Latin America. A lot of folks are looking to Texas to move money, to, want something that, especially overseas, they want consistency. It took a bit of effort to have those US dollars to bring them over here in a proper way. They want the return of the principal and they just want that cash flow. And that, particularly take a wealthy Mexican family, that's probably their biggest criteria. And I feel industrial, from being just big and boring, it provides that in a very good way. So, going full circle here, the benefit of somebody with the multi-decade experience in this space that vets these deals based on this criteria can now provide it to investors for, a reasonable LP check.
Yeah, totally. Very excellent information and asset class. And what recommendations would you have for people who are interested in like looking for finding industrial deals?
Yeah. It all depends who I'd say the person or persona or what they're representing sort of is right now. Like anything, and I'm not going to sugarcoat it, things are at a high, but you still be buy low, sell high. I like to buy high, sell higher, which, frankly, that might be. Mm-hmm. So the best advice I can give is maybe what not to do. Don't chase a logo. I know some folks, and you've probably seen this in multifamily people coming in at silly cap rates. I mean, somebody might say, oh, this is going to be Amazon, an Amazon distribution center. Somebody might be buying at a 3 or 4-ish cap rate. Like the economics will never work from that standpoint because they want to say they did a deal with Amazon. So, with that, I'd be cautious. On the flip side of that, in every asset class, as they say, winter is coming. I think you're going to see it in multifamily before residential, meaning some of these skinny underwritten deals, there might be some bargains to be. So I would say, I grew up in, we talked in Pennsylvania, the Rust Belt. I still think if you're local, let's pick on Syracuse, Binghamton, the whole I-81 corridor. there's probably some very property, industrial properties with great bones at a relatively lower price. And if you can ensure that that tenant and they have a good, I'd say look at the operations of the business, if they're going to cash flow and they can pay that 10 plus year. I don't know if I would do spec in certain parts of the country, but having that tenant coming in, particularly say in a Rust Belt area, is a good way to do it.
Mm-hmm, for sure. Yeah, lots of great information there and very valuable take on industrial, which is, a very hot asset class right now, something we should all be looking at as far as recession resistant asset classes, something that we're definitely looking at adding to our portfolio soon. So thank you so much, Dan, for coming on. Dan Kay, it's been a pleasure to learn from you and hear about your journey. Why don't you tell the listeners how they can learn more about you and anything else you want to share?
Sure, absolutely. And thanks for everybody being here at this time. My email's been staring at you. So of course, I also think LinkedIn is a great way. So LinkedIn is great. Obviously, please reference, that you heard it here with Suja and Dan this evening. So that would be great. And yeah, just look forward to getting to meet everybody.
Awesome. Well, thanks again so much, Dan. We'll see you next time.
Awesome. Take care, y'all.
Thank you so much for listening to Passive Income Unlocked. Before you go on to continue with your amazing day, please take a moment to reflect on what you truly desire in life. Then think about one thing you can do to push the ball forward in that direction. Also, please head over to iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts and leave an honest rating and review of this show. It really would mean so much to me. Passive Income Unlocked is brought to you by Lux Capital. Lux works with investors nationwide to invest in real estate. We are closing the investing gap one investor at a time. Connect online at www.lux-cap.com, LUXE-CAP.com, for tons of free educational content to further your success.